interested parties.
Recording in progress.
Is there anyone in the house? Or you want me
morning,
to say
Chair.
Want me to say good morning, class? I hope I'm audible enough. Compliments of the new season, honorable members and the committee staff, for our first meeting of 2022. And hopefully we will have a fruitful year ahead. And condolences to those who would have lost their loved ones over the period of time that we have been through. I hope, I'm not saying we want, but I will also explain as we continue with the meeting, but I hope we won't have a long meeting. Without any further ado, can I get, are there any apologies?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. We didn't receive any apologies. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. If the, in the absence of any apologies, honorable members, as we know, we felt that it might take too much time. In fact, from where I was sitting and in consultation with the administration of the committee, which is the secretariat as well as the research units, we had to just look at what ought to be done. The exercise we're doing now, probably we should have done it as soon as we finish the public hearings in other areas, in the last area where we visited, which is Sasolburg. But unfortunately, it was not catered for, and we felt that maybe before we start in earnest with the work of the committee, we must have that what I would call a debrief with regards to the public hearings and what could be the areas that we need to consider and look at with regards to the public hearing and its experiences. So in the main, the meeting of today is to look at that, but also we had to look at the possibility of areas which may require our attention, and if we agree, what then would have to be done. So we are presenting to you, as you look at the agenda, the exercise of what I would call a debriefing, and then we look at the adopted program, which meant if with regards to the outcomes of our debriefing exercise, it may have some permutations, we then had to look at the possible adjustment on the program. In the main, it is about the fact that we have conducted some of the public hearings in many of these areas, but in the informal interaction with members, some members felt that based on that experience, there might be a need to relook or review our decision, which was about visiting only seven provinces out of the nine, based on what at that time informed us as a committee. So, but I must say, I hope I'm correct, Ari and Ayanda. I then requested that maybe let's get a legal guidance from legal services. What are the options in front of us before we close the process? For an example, we were supposed to, when we are done to deal with the reports, like the program says, to deal with the report, to deliberate on the report, to invite the department again to provide its response post the outcome of the public hearings. But also, more than any other thing, to then go the clause-by-clause exercise on the proposed amendment and see whether there is agreement on those amendments. If not, what is it that is being proposed? So generally, that is what is at 10. Now, if we have adopted the report and everything, the big question then will arise, can you then undertake another process after that? Which if there would have been agreement after the adoption of the report, would it create space for a further exercise, for an example of visiting the other two provinces? So without any further delay, if you allow me, honorable members, let me then give the legal services, and then I will also allow just for finish the researcher, my partner. Parliamentary Legal Service. You welcomed in the meeting also. I might have not done so. My apologies.
Fatima just joined us now, Chair. She just came on the platform now.
Good morning, Chairperson. I am on the platform now. Apologies, I had some difficulty getting in, but I am in now and I can hear everybody clearly.
Okay, no, we're just saying we are giving in to you to provide some legal guidance to the committee before it deliberates on what would be the next exercise. I was just outlining the fact that we have done according to the first part of what we agreed in terms of the public hearings, but then there were issues that emerged as we were going around, and we needed to take counsel, counseling on what then is possible for the committee to reconsider before we wrap up everything, or when we have wrapped up everything, something new then emerges. For an example, at a legal level, a demand or a need to close the gap with regards to the implication of the public hearing, especially the non-visit of other two provinces. So I was just saying that you are welcomed. Just give us the legal guideline that the committee or the areas that the committee might have to take into consideration. And then I will give the researcher to give us at a substantive level what is it that could be an additional matter, so that if the committee then decides to stick to its view or position, it can do so. But if there is a need, we must also look at what then could be the impact or the effect or even the consequences of revisiting or relooking at that particular decision the committee that has taken. So I want to give it to you to give us your own legal perspective on the matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all the members and colleagues. Chairperson, public participation is a constitutional requirement, as members will be aware. It's section 59 that compels the National Assembly and its committees to facilitate public involvement. But the Constitution, as we know, is not prescriptive. And in fact, even the NA rules only require that interested parties and institutions be given a period of at least 3 weeks to comment on a draft bill. That being said, Chair, committees therefore decide on their own methods of public participation, and these may include oral submissions, it may be limited to written submissions, whatever the case may be. And in determining that, the committee would look at what is reasonable in particular circumstances. So that issue of reasonableness, Chair, is determined by looking at a number of factors. By way of example, the nature and extent of the legislation, the intensity of its impact on the public, whether a bill is wide-reaching or does it only affect a particular sector of society. So if I can give an example, something like the National Minimum Wage Bill is going to affect a far greater number of persons in the country than a bill for circus animals, perhaps, or a bill for performers or actors. So the committee would look at those things, then at practicalities such as time and expenses. Yet that in itself would not be a reason to limit public participation. Chair, as I understand it, in this particular matter, a decision was taken that public participation would happen in the form of oral hearings in the provinces, and it was decided that seven provinces in particular would be afforded the opportunities. And we know that holding hearings in the provinces have great value for those provincial communities because it provides the residents with the opportunity to be informed of the intentions of the legislature and then to also actively partake in the lawmaking process. So whilst the NCOP would also have an opportunity through the provincial legislatures and in fact even itself to hold hearings in provinces, that part of the process that happens at the NCOP stage is completely separate from what happens in the portfolio committees in the NA. Members will appreciate that what happens at that stage, that information won't be available to the committee at this point in time when you are deliberating on your bill. So the committee, as I understand it, taking into consideration the wide impact of this particular bill, determined that it would go to the provinces. But the question that now arises is whether it was reasonable to determine that we would only visit seven provinces as opposed to all the provinces. So as I understand, Limpopo and Northwest have not had that opportunity yet. Chair, there may be times when it's appropriate not to visit all provinces. By way of example, if you have a bill that deals with coastal matters, it may then not be necessary to hold hearings in your inland provinces, because that might not take your matter any further. In this particular bill, Chair, I cannot see what the rational basis was to exclude these two provinces, and perhaps the committee would be able to answer that better than I can. But my own view, Chair, is that it would not be reasonable at this stage to exclude them. We have found that there's been high levels of interest in the bill. There has been excellent turnouts in all of the hearings to date. And therefore, my own advice based on this requirement of reasonableness, Chair, would be to open the process further to these two provinces, if, of course, that is still possible, taking into consideration the practical impact. So yeah, you would look at things like urgency of the bill, the impact of COVID, if that is applicable, and so on. But the committee can determine that going forward. But my own advice, Chair, is that it doesn't appear to be rational or reasonable at this stage as to why those two provinces were excluded. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Fatima. Before I give to other members to take their bit, Babumapat.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members and everybody present. Sivuile Mabode, researcher for the committee. I'll just speak on a few issues. My presentation is basically is asking a question: why should we consider the two provinces that we haven't been to? So the committee Committee, as the members would remember, in selecting the seven provinces, the following criteria was used. The committee considered coastal provinces with industrial economic zones, such as KZN, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, and KZN. It also considered areas where there are existing gas activities or gas prospects, such as in areas such as Mpumalanga and Free State, where you have Sasol, the refineries in both provinces, Free State and Mpumalanga. There's also the gas pipeline that comes from Mozambique that crosses over those provinces. So that was a criteria. However, I'm submitting that in using this criteria, there was an oversight from our side because it became apparent during the public hearings that the bill affects everybody, not just people who are in the industry or companies that are already in the industry. For example, one of the aims of the bill is to promote entry into the industry by anyone. It's not specifying that promotes entry by only those people who have licenses already in the industry, but it affords the opportunity everybody enter into the sector. The bill introduces new technologies such as landfill gas, coal-bed methane, etc. So these new developments may attract more investment into the gas sector and more South Africans wanting to enter the industry. So limiting it to coastal area, to those criteria that I've just mentioned above, it was an oversight from our side. And then, for example, in the Northwest Province, there are currently no reported gas activities. However, one cannot assume that people in the Northwest Province would not be interested in the gas bill being presented to them. As I've mentioned before, that the bill promotes entry as well into the industry. So the basis for not going into a province because there's no gas activity or prospects, although I'm not a lawyer, but that argument would not hold when looking at the objectives of the bill, which is to promote orderly development of the gas industry, promote black participation, etc. And then additionally, the legal advisor has said, for completeness and fairness of the process and to avoid any litigation that may be brought forward by interested and affected parties, it makes sense for the committee to do the remaining two provinces. I believe that litigants, like I've hinted before, litigants would have a leg to stand on should the process be challenged, because it would be difficult to prove or the rationale for not doing the other two provinces, looking at the objectives of the bill, like I have highlighted before. And then lastly, just in Limpopo, currently in Limpopo, there is a coal bed methane project in the Waterberg area. The project is run by Anglo Coal. The project is run by Anglo Coal, and they've already started the drilling process, and they are expected to produce the first gas by 2020 and 2025. So already in Limpopo, there is a gas activity which speaks to the criteria that was used in selecting the three provinces, I mean the seven provinces. So I'm going back to the issue of the process being challenged. So if we looked at the activities, we chose the provinces because of the gas activities that are currently happening in certain provinces, But then there is this one in Limpopo, this project that is happening in Limpopo. And same in Limpopo as well, in the Makado local municipality, there is a feasibility study has been completed on oil and gas by a 100% Black-owned company, Boy Petrol Brothers, the name of the company. So the feasibility study has been completed. They are now, the next step is the drilling process that would follow. So yeah, based on what I've just said and what the legal advisor had said, so I would advise as well that the committee do the remaining two provinces. Thank you very much, members and the chairperson.
Okay, thank you. My brother and the legal advisor. Honorable members, that is the feedback that or the views. One it's based on substantive, the other one is legal. I always say it's better to do things in a manner that at the end of the day, you don't complain about what could be the outcome. Before I give it to the floor, to you, honorable members, let me also say this. Yes, I've had a chat, a discussion with the House Chairperson, and his views was that, and I think we must be able to balance these two, was that probably it would be better if the committee in its deliberations, I'm just adding something, maybe Mabota and Fatima, later on you can come and clarify that legally, that the test mostly is on not just visiting every province. The test is to get a sense of response or reaction. Whether when you go to those provinces, two provinces now, you will get anything new that you would not have got from other provinces. Not just to, that is probably part of what he was advising, or he was of the opinion that just to visit the provinces in order to fill up the number that we did all nine provinces, legally may not be a good standpoint. The standpoint is to test the views. Are there any new things that we will discover or new views that we think will be different from the other seven provinces that we have visited? I'm just saying in the discussion, that is another issue that emerged. So can I give to members to make their own contribution on this matter? Not only limited to that, obviously, although we are not dealing with the overall report now, we are dealing with what I'm saying we could have done when we finished the last area, which was Sasolburg that we visited. We should have had a debriefing, but I understand the conditions of members at that time. Is there any take, honorable members? I can't see a single hand. I see the hand of honorable, let me see. I see the hand of honorable Volmarans. The hand of
Chair, I'm trying to raise my hand. Chair.
No, it's here. Don't worry. It's here. I see the hand of Honorable Matogwe. I see the hand of Honorable Malinga. I see the hand of Honorable Mashaune. In that line, Honorable Volmarans, and then I won't come back until Honorable Mashaune. Honorable Volmarans, Honorable Matogwe, Honorable Malinga, and then Honorable Mashaune.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning to the members present on the platform. Good morning also to the staff and the representatives of the department. Chair, let me firstly welcome the presentation from the legal advisor and the presentation that came shortly thereafter. I want to move from a premise that, Chair, the matter at hand is not treated in the sense of a fault of the committee or a fault of the department or somebody who is at fault. That's my take on it. The mere take on it was, after we have done all the moving around the provinces, consideration be given, given what we know now, what we have seen, what the people have been saying, there won't be any harm in the first place in considering the other two, so that it does not look like maybe some department or somebody might have had made a fault. It's a question of hindsight. But the two, the opinion and the presentation gives more weight to reasons why we should maybe go and visit the two provinces, either by virtue of affected or interest. If we leave out affected, anybody who might be interested in the bill, just curiosity, must be given a chance to participate. And in this case, it's a question of taking Parliament to those who've got maybe that interest. But coming back to the real facts on the table is, if you look at the information that we just got now, there are gas activities in Limpopo, which makes it, given our own criteria where we used to say we are visiting those where there's activity around the issue, Limpopo falls straight into that category. If you look at the bill itself, where it talks about the activity which relates to the drilling, there is something that deals with that. The environment, there is something that deals with it. But there's a storage and transportation and the fund, the fines that are related to breaking the law in terms of those arrangements. Those would affect everybody in the whole country. For example, the transportation of gas in whatever form it is goes through the N4 to your Botswana and the other related areas, which goes through the Northwest. And if there's a problem there, your hazmat will have to be called in. It goes to some of the mines which will be using gas around the Northwest, the Limpopo, and everywhere else. So there is a good case to be made and motivated to say, let us go through. I agree to the fact that when we are doing a sampling and a lot of public hearings, it does not necessarily mean that we've got to touch each and every person. Some would be done through your radio stations and so on. It has been reduced to your community radio stations and a few publications here and there. But by and large, we are of the view, or I am of the view, that it won't do us any harm. It will actually enrich our deliberations when we come through to making a report. The last point that you made, Chair, of whether we'll find anything new, it's a good legal argument, but it wants us to be what do you call the sangomas, where we will be telling people, hey, we are not going to get anything new there. It is our own experience that some of the things we expected in other provinces, we did not get. So I think that part we must stay away from, whether we are going to get anything new. What we must just check is that was there consultation? And I think we are up to so far, we are doing quite well in terms of actual participation of communities. Whether they are interested, affected, or just curiosity, but our community should know. And that just enhances what we will be putting forward. So in that regard, I would go with both the advices that we got today, point to the fact that there won't be any harm if we proceed and motivate for the two provinces to be visited. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd also like to extend my greetings to the members and everyone in today's meeting. I also wanted to perhaps just give maybe three pointers on my observation of the public hearings. I think I can even speak for the collective that there were a lot of lessons that were learned. The more we went to more provinces, we were able to sort of analyze that, well, this was done better, and we're able, I think even from the hearings that we had last year, there was a lot of improvement this year, having learned those lessons. I think one point that I'd wanted to make is the issue of that we had excellent turnout, as I think the lady from the legal services has said. But as much as that turnout was, the quality of the content was not what we had expected as the portfolio committee. A lot of people went there because Bavioba Uparlamente is going to be there. A lot of people went there because the DMRE is going to be there. So a lot of people went to speak on issues of mining. A lot of people went to disrupt. A lot of people went on service delivery issues. And very few actually understood why we're having those public hearings. And I think it's important maybe, Chair, to maybe see or maybe try to have some sort of an analysis of how are people actually mobilized, because we are not interested in full halls. We are interested in people that are going to give input on the bill. So the people that we are working with and who have been delegated to mobilize community members to come to the public hearings, we need to understand what is the message that is being sent to these people. Do they know that they are there specifically for the guest amendment bill? And what becomes our responsibility as the committee to make sure that the participants in there, they are there for that specific reason. I think another one, we had an issue of transport as well, which was raised, I think, in the Eastern Cape, and I think in Bloemfontein as well. And I think even in Mangaung, there was a situation where even some of the participants got there just before we finished the hearings. And I think, Chair, that on its own, it's something that perhaps we need to follow up on, because if our service providers have been given a responsibility to take people to public hearings, and those people do not get to participate, or those people arrive there very late, especially people who say that they've been there since like 6 a.m. waiting for transport. So that we're not paying for services that are not being rendered, because that is also to a certain extent makes everything a bit futile. And I think the last one is, I understand that even municipalities have a role that they need to play in helping to mobilize for these sittings. With that being said, we need to perhaps, instead of checking our readiness the day before the hearing start, maybe let's get reports maybe a week from the municipalities where they give us in detail what have they done to make sure that these hearings are going to be successful, who have they spoken to, what are the confirmations, so that we at least have a week to sort of put in any measures as the portfolio committee, because the people who really need these public hearings to be as successful, it is us, because we need as much information as possible so that we can give this bill the best chance that it has. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, honorable members of the PC, committee staff, and representatives of the department, everybody who's on the platform. Chair, let me welcome the two advice that we have gotten from our researcher and the legal services of Parliament. Pardon the noise, Chair, umakhelwane ugundutshani. So if it disturbs you, you will alert me. Chairperson, I also want to concur with Honorable Bolmarans that, Chairperson, we are not blaming anybody on the hindsight that there were two provinces that were left behind. that were not consulted. I think it is our first time as this committee undertaking any public hearing. So we did not know what, or we did what we thought will only affect the people where gas is being drilled or mined. We did not check the user weight on the bill chair. Because when you check on the amendments of the bill, it talks about transportation, as Honorable Volmaran said, distribution. And if you had listened, Chair, on the people who were on the platform, talks about licenses, a person from Limpopo might want to be, who has an SMME, might want to venture into this space of gas. And if maybe they'll have some inputs that they'll want to submit, because some people, Chair, they don't have the luxury of internet and everything that they can send or written, I think it's written replies to the committee, because I know that there were written submission, the time frame for written submissions to be submitted to the committee, because if you remember, Chair, some even wanted to give us their submissions when we were there. Unfortunately, the submissions had already been closed. So this going to Northwest and Limpopo will also give us the sense on what the people think about, because this is the law of the country that is being amended. It's not just I like how the legal advisor puts it, that you only decide not to go to some provinces where you check who is affected. Then she made mention of minimum wage. That minimum wage, whoever the portfolio committee that is seized with that will have to go to 9 provinces. Then she made mention that in terms of your artist, you might not have artists maybe in Free State or wherever, then that portfolio will decide. But this is affects everybody in the country. So Chairperson, I think it's no harm, or it won't do us any harm for the chair to resubmit to the chair of chairs and put forward this legal advice. We don't want to sit with litigations. We hate litigations. That is why we discourage even the department to take that route when they come to the portfolio committee. Mbuku Matogwe kwesami screen, Chair. Manje angazi noma wena uyangizwa. Ngiyibukela Matogwe nje. So that will be my submission, Chair. But let us not preempt whether the people in Limpopo or Northwest will give us a different perspective on what we have already heard from the 7 provinces. But I support the view and the move, Chair, that let us also go to the 2 provinces. Litigation, there are companies or people who are affected by this bill who take the portfolio of parliament to court, that now we were not consulted in terms of these amendments. I submit, Chair.
Well, Mashaule, I had, he has been told. Oh, continue. I saw what you wrote. Okay, continue.
Thank you very much, Chair. My apologies, I have been kicked out. Let me first greet the honorable members, the department, the staff of parliament, and appreciate the legal services for coming to brief us on what they think we should proceed. Chair, I just want to start with the last point you made, and I'm not sure whether it was an advice or it was 2 gentlemen talking and gave each other advices on whether we need to test at some point whether what would be the reaction of people in other areas, or is there anything new that we can solicit as a basis of what we must look for? I think that very same point is wrong. We have been commended as this committee for taking Parliament to the people and not preempt what they are going to say. Because the accusation that comes after that is that we are embarking on a ticking box exercise. We are not interested in what people have to say. And it's exactly this point that we preempt that they may not even add value to what we want to say. That point is wrong. The point by the chair of chairs as an advice should not be taken by this committee because it's wrong. And that's my view that I would stand for any day, any time, anywhere. Chair, I think we should go to the remaining provinces for the reason I just outlined and other reasons. You know, Chair, I think we were in Pedi or Grafreinet when some person made an example that the differential pricing of gas and the unregulated manner in which it's happening. Even if you were to take this bill to an area where they don't mine or explore gas, that problem remains. People use gas even in Limpopo, they use gas in Northwest, and this gas is transported. It passes their roads every time. They need to know what would happen if one truck was to have an accident. Is their environment taken care of? What would happen? They need to understand what would be the health hazard of those. So this bill is not only about regulation, it's also educational to our people on how they must use gas and the health hazards. So we can't not take it to our people in all areas that we need to take them. An accusation that comes from a province, and you remember, Chair, when we were in Free State, they said, you are coming only to two regions, when we have five regions or six regions, I can't remember correct. You clarified them that when we went to KwaZulu-Natal, they have 11 regions, but we only went to, I think, two, if not three. Now, there is that thirst that people want to make inputs to the bill. It has created interest from many people. They need to make submissions to this bill. Now, there is that complaint at the level of a region, what more would happen if we don't go to a province altogether? It would be disastrous. It will lead to litigation, and that's not what we want. We need a transparent exercise. And there is a general accusation that the department in drafting this bill did not consult anyone. Now, if we do the same, I'm not saying it's correct that they did not consult or not consult, but that's the view that we're getting on the ground. We will be doing the very same thing that when we are at these hearings, we hear people accusing the department of, and we don't want that. So I want, Chair, to really plead with yourself that you put a motivation that we need to go to the two outstanding provinces, not as a ticking box exercise, but to really go to our people and source their wisdom on these matters. Thank you very much. Chair, was I speaking alone?
No, it's me who's speaking alone.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I'm talking to myself. No, I was talking to myself. Now I'm talking to the committee. Is there any other member who wants to make a contribution on the matter that is at hand now? Can I test and I check? Okay, I guess that's it that we have for now. Fatima, do you want to have a take on the issues raised by members? Let's take note also taking note on the question that could arise, which has been arise. I'm sorry, Honourable, will be why didn't you take that decision from the onset based on the fact that there was a legal advice, but I will come back to that also myself. Do you want to have a take, Fatima?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the reason that public participation requirements are not set out or not prescriptive is exactly because it is an organic process. What may appear at the beginning to be a bill that may not generate much interest can change over time, which is why things are flexible. Nothing would stop a committee, for example, from introducing other forms of public participation if it wanted, even during a process. I don't think that the committee needs to feel tied to what it decided in the beginning, because as I'm saying, the process as I see it is an organic process, and it's going to be influenced by many things as we go along. I think at the end of the day, Chairperson, that being said, the most important thing is that the committee must be convinced that whatever decision they take at this point now must be reasonable. The committee must be able to defend the decision it takes. If the committee is of the view that no new information is going to come out by taking the hearings to the other two provinces, that the committee doesn't have the time, that the bill is urgent for whatever reason, that they are practical difficulties that make it impossible to have those hearings, then those are all things that can be considered in making the decision. But whatever the decision is, it must be one that the committee feels comfortable is a reasonable decision, Chair. Thank you.
Mapot, any take?
Chair, I agree with the members on the issue of the test that one would have to do. It's not practical to test what the public would have to say. We wouldn't know what would they say. Their contributions, we don't know. And there's a difference in Limpopo, for example. There's an existing, like I've mentioned, there's an existing coal bed methane project, of which we never experienced that in any of the seven provinces. That's something, it's about the test that you referred to, but it's not practical on public hearings to use the test. That's my take. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you, honorable members. Can we then let me move from this premise? Thanks, Fatima, and Mr. Mapota. Also, you tried to assist. I think the first principle thing we must agree, and I think Fatima is also giving us a fact that when the committee looked at the tagging, it took the consideration of the tagging. Although even contained there, it is stated that what we were dealing with, if I'm correct, was not Schedule 4 of the Constitution. And I think being informed with that, it became the overriding issue. And hence the issue that Mr. Mabota is also raising, the consideration of the provinces, especially the coastal provinces. That's how, by the way, Mabota, you only mentioned the others except Northern Cape as one of the coastal provinces. We then took consideration of the inland provinces. The inland provinces, we only took Gauteng, which is the one of the major areas where there is a question of gas utilization impact and effects. It then was Mpumalanga as well as the Free State. KZN, it was obviously wise, as you have stated. So I don't think, and I'm comfortable with the fact that yes, when the committee took that decision, the conditions were not there. The second thing I think we must concede, even when we went to some of the areas, the first areas we went to, even to KZN, we can't in last year. You could get a sense that the technical nature of the bill was the one that even member the public was struggling with. And I just say, even from ourselves as a committee, we were still trying to familiarize ourselves with the main contents of what the bill is all about. So it was educational even to the committee itself. So I think that is one second part for me that we need to take into consideration. So I buy the story that the bill is organic. As things were developing, you start to look at the decision you've taken in terms of the correctness of that decision. And in my view, it has become apparent. The bill is very technical. But as we were continuing with public hearings, people were beginning now to feel what they think it could be their major contribution. We have not gone to that extent now to make an in-depth assessment and analysis, but most definitely from the beginning of the year, when we started from the 17th, upwards, at least you were starting to see the major participation of people. We also could not run away from the fact that when we started, there was a lot of tension and disruptions that the committee faced with regards to its going to public hearings. And that would have had an impact on some of your inland provinces. So I would see this as part of the continuation of that exercise. I don't think there is a major issue. The fact is, it is better to deal with something that you know. That is where the difficulty Fatima will have. It is not whether the satisfaction of the committee. You may be satisfied as a committee, we did everything okay. And I don't think so. There is something that would say we would do. But the question is, would we stay with this, that decision stay the test of judicial scrutiny? And we can't deny the fact that our satisfaction does not necessarily mean that when we are put to judicial scrutiny, we are convinced that that would succeed, because that process is not subject to us. It is subject to what will be the relief sought out of our co-own exercise. So I would want to put it in that way that we have to do, we may be satisfied with what we are doing, but it does not necessarily mean that it could stand legal scrutiny. That is what we need. We need to, in my view, you rather err on the side of caution. Any bill of parliament, in my view, if we were to use It may not be urgent, but any bill of parliament, that's what we have always been told, it is it must receive high priority of the committee. So we are prioritizing the bill in that context, that it requires high priority, and we are prioritizing it. But in terms of a sense of agency, I think members will be within their own right to say, if that bill was urgent, it would not have been brought at this time and putting pressure on us. So we will work according to the pace and capacity and other related matters in dealing with the bill. But yes, every bill that is brought to the committee, it has to be given priority. Lastly, my take is that there are many other factors that members are raising, including the fact that we may not preempt, but what Mr. Mabota is raising are some of the things that were never considered. So if we were to use that criteria now to justify, well, that question will arise, but why didn't you take note of the following? So to completely use that criteria of us, now with the knowledge that there are guest activities that are taking place, especially in Limpopo, in the areas that Mr. Mabota was talking to. So it would have been an incorrect decision to take, and people will be within their own to say, but if you were making this consideration, why this? So I want us to maybe agree that as a committee, we'll write that letter of motivation, including the fact that the use of the word trade, instead of custom or whatever, that's what also the March advice, the May advice, when the legal services came to the committee raised, it raised that issue. So in relation to that, let's agree then that there is something that is very unique, because where we have been, there's not been much talk of trade. In particular, closer to what Honorable Mahlalo was saying, the two provinces are exit trade areas. Whether you talk of Limpopo on its borders with Zimbabwe as a trade. So the question of cross-border trade has not been an issue that featured in our public hearings and we're going in. And I think those are the things we have to put into bear. Do we agree, Honor? Can we take that summary and then say we will then correspond with the House Chairperson to ask for a visit of the two provinces? For now, we don't have areas where we will visit, but when we deal with the program, honorable members will see that we have tried to cater for that, and then we'll compile a complete report. When we deal with the program, that's what it will be containing. Do we agree, Honorable Member? Is that a good summary of what the committee is saying?
Agreed, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Yes, that's correct, Chair.
If that is the case, can we then it will be subject. We will put our motivation, Honorable Member, and then it will be subject to that approval. Can we go, Arif, just to put, I must say we have tried to amend what we have done, Honorable Members. We didn't temper too much. We tried in some areas to squeeze the programs. We have taken out, I just want to say now in advance, we have taken out some of the activities that were Friday, put them together on the program that we had already adopted. But because there were those proposed amendments subject to the decision of the committee, we then said traveling will be mainly on Friday, and therefore we will utilize the weekend. Then it will be difficult to have a committee meeting on a Friday when it's supposed to be a traveling day. So we just, I think on two weekends, we took out the blend programs for Friday, and then we put them some because of the magnitude. We're not that huge, we put them together with another program, but they are still within the first quarter program. Ari or Ayanda, take us through, maybe you can do that where there would have been changes, because the rest is what we have adopted in our last meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. We'll start with today's meeting, which we are doing now, the debriefing on public participation. And our next meeting will be next week on Tuesday, where we will receive a briefing from the department on both the quarterly reports and the implementation action plan. And then on the 22nd, we'll have a briefing by SEF Group and NEXA Group on their respective annual performance plans. And then on the 1st of March, Chair, we'll have a briefing by an Auditor General on the audit outcomes of outstanding entities, that is SEF, NEXA, and SADPMR. And also immediately get a briefing from these three entities. And then we plan to have our public hearings on Saturday and Sunday. That will start with Limpopo. And then on the 8th of March, we plan to have our colloquium on the energy stakeholder meeting on fuel price in SA. And then we'll start again with the last province on the 12th to 13th March in Northwest. Then after we're done with, they will be done with the process of public participation, and then we'll get a responses from the department on the written submissions received on the gas amendment bill. Then same week on Friday, we start with the deliberations, Chair. While we're busy on with the deliberations, we'll have a briefing by Mincosa on the impact of High Court judgment relating to the mining charter. And then we are hoping, Chair, to finalize the report on the gas amendment bill on the 25th of March. And then the last week is dedicated on the inquiry on the RMIPPP, which will be in Pretoria or Johannesburg. And then we'll close the term, Chair, going to constituency period. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson?
Yes, sir. Any take, honorable members? Okay, I take it as agreed to in the absence of any comments or hands from honorable members. Anyway, it's what we have adopted as a committee. On that note, we hear you, honorable Zungula. On that note, honorable members, the meeting stands adjourned until we meet next week. Thank you very much.
No, Chair. We are not done. We still need to adopt this revised program, and then we've got minutes after this.
I'm in a hurry. Is there a move for the program, for the proposed program?
I move the program to the
Honorable Zungula moves. Are you seconding Honorable Mashaule?
Yes, I wanted to say I support him.
Okay, thank you. You must bear with me. I'm coming from a very strenuous process. Okay, can we go to the minutes? No, let's leave that one as a standard issue. Let's go.
Chair.
Honorable Mashaule.
On the discussions, 3 and 3.1, on the sixth sentence. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Chair, 3.1. On the sixth sentence.
Yes.
The sentence should read, other members argued that the TOR should not be as broad and that it should be focused.
Okay.
Chair, while I still have the platform, can we go to 3.2?
Yes.
On the fifth and sixth sentence. Fifth and sixth sentence. It says, for an example, a hotel. Okay, let me read the whole sentence so that we understand. The justification for scheduling it in Johannesburg or Pretoria was that the majority of those involved in the alleged incidents are from there. The incidents took place in Johannesburg and Pretoria. And then it gives an example. Hotel where meeting was scheduled. I don't think the meeting that is said was in a hotel. It was in a restaurant from the reports that we got. And we must not assume that this restaurant is in a hotel. We must capture it correctly. Unless that sentence was meant to mean something else.
In fact, it should also say alert restaurant where the meeting was scheduled.
Thank you very much. I was going to go to 3.3, Chair, because that point, the whole paragraph does not give what the conclusion was, but while I was reading, I saw the resolutions at the end that it does give us what was the resolution on that issue. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other matter on the minutes? Yes, go down there. Okay. Okay, honorable members, any move of the minutes?
With the corrections, actually, not amendments, corrections. I move with the corrections, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Malinga, Honorable Mahlaule, we're seconding.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Any matters arising?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Mahlaule.
Number six, resolution number two. In fact, both the resolutions of comparing cost of having the inquiry in Cape Town and Johannesburg, and also the application from the office of the House Chair on the evidence leader. How far are we with that? Thank you very much.
We will come back to you with that, Chair, with regards to the issue of the evidence leader. Yes, there have been discussions between me and the House Chair. For now, we have not put it in writing, but we will come back to the committee because we both agreed that we will have to do it officially if there is any, not just for him to just find a letter. So we will do that. For the comparison, I think it's one of the technical challenges, but in principle, the committee had agreed that we will do physical inquiry rather than the virtual. Yes, but we will update members probably by next week on the two issues. Is there any other matter, honorable members? Okay. In the absence of that, let's agree that the meeting now stands adjourned until next Tuesday. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting
until next Tuesday. Meeting adjourned until next Tuesday, but not a Tuesday. Tuesday is debate. This beautiful.
Ubani lokhuluma la?